Hello and welcome to another episode of Baby Steps, the first steps to understanding the paradox of parenting and education and everything to do with children. If you're new, welcome. My name is Danielle Ochieng, and if you're regular, good to be back with you. So I'm an early child education specialist by passion and profession, currently working as a curriculum designer for the early years and also a consultant in the same. I have been working with children for over 10 years in different capacities. Talk about teacher, counselor, guide, friend, mentor, confidant, well, everything, spanning through all years, 0 to 18 plus. But I like to focus on the early years and particularly 0 to 5 because it's the foundation of everything about children. And now, drum rolls! It's time for another Did You Know fact. So, did you know that using your non-dominant hand for mundane tasks for 2 weeks can improve your self-control? Yeah, so like if you're right-handed, try use your left hand for the next 2 weeks for tasks like opening the door, you know, opening containers, most mundane tasks. So in our last episode, I know we talked about what healthy self-esteem is all about. And I really hope we are working on these things because I make this podcast because I love, adore, and care for all children. And I want them to grow up healthier and happier as a whole, especially psychologically, and become better adults. Maybe then from them we can have better leaders who will steer this world, and specifically Africa, to regaining its lost glory, power, strength, and so that we can stop being beggars of the West, looking to them to solve our problems like we are brain dead. This also just proves low self-esteem, because why else would we be turning to others to make us feel better or be better people? And in case you did not listen to that podcast, please, you can go, whether this is on Apple or Google Podcasts or Anchor or wherever you listen to it from, just check back and you'll be able to find all other episodes, especially and including the self-esteem one. So today we're talking about self-regulation, or what we can call self-control. Because it's another huge part of growing up as healthy and happy people. Look at it from this way. Have you ever worked with people who just seem to get easily agitated or angered or just can't control themselves, and you wonder, why wouldn't you be able to? Yes, so that's a very important aspect of life, and that's why we're going to talk about it, especially as it comes to dealing with our children. So when I'm looking at self-regulation, it involves like one's ability to manage our emotions, our behavior, depending on what a situation demands. And it's a set of skills that enables a child to inhibit their response, behavioral or whether it's emotional, and direct it towards a goal, such as finishing their dinner fast before they can play. So learning to control that. So I know we're always worried about our kids' academic success and what numbers they can count on before the neighbors, or how much earlier than your brother's child did they start walking or talking. But did you know that emotional control is a very good indicator of future success? In fact, the Bible says that he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. How? Well, think about it this way. If you are one of those old-time rulers like in the BCs, you know, before Christ, very powerful and all, you know, conquering left, right, and center, and one time one of your generals, your army generals, makes a mistake and pisses the life out of you. So you decide to get rid of him, like from the face of this earth. And forgetting that he or she has so many followers in your very army who really love that person. And they all now decide, oh, you've got rid of ours. They decide to turn against you. So what does that mean? Usually the end of your rulership and probably the end of your life. So, okay, back to what the Bible says about being slow to anger as better than mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures the city. I believe the secret is in teaching our children one of the most important part of the fruit of the spirit.
Because the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
That's the last part, you know? Self-control. Love, joy, peace, self-control, yes, or self-regulation. So why is it important for children to learn how to regulate their emotions? For one, it keeps them from hurting themselves and others even as they grow older. It teaches them that patience, because they will need it so that they don't feel entitled, and they also will not feel the need to take whatever measures they possibly can to get what they want if somebody says no. And trust me, it will give you peace as a parent, so that when you say no or simply do not have the means to get them what they want at that moment, it gives them the ability to understand, okay, fine,
this can happen now and it's okay. It also gives them the ability to concentrate in class, to ignore distractions, remember directions, and resist impulses. So those tantrums at those most importune moments, trust me, will vanish once we build these skills with our kids. So self-regulation is sometimes categorized into three: emotional, behavioral, and cognitive. So emotional self-regulation helps children manage how they react to situations and experience their emotions. Behavioral involves helping them to exhibit control over their actions. And cognitive self-regulation helps them follow rules and plan appropriate responses, such as listening when they're being given instructions. Cognitive self-regulation also involves being able to take charge of our thought patterns, especially the negative ones. I mean, don't we all need to practice regulation in all these aspects? So essentially, it boils down to how our children learn to manage stress, both from within and without. Helping a child develop such skills will greatly reduce the number of teens, youth, and adults whose first resort is to retaliate and hurt others or themselves. This obviously means that there'll be more peace in the world, which don't we all want? I mean, when they learn not to feel like they're entitled to anything or anyone treating them in a certain way, they learn to have internal peace. They will learn to get less offended when people don't do things as they want, and they will also learn to control their own weather. I always insist on that, learning to control your own weather. Not the easiest thing, but we can learn to develop it. Think about this. Have you ever seen somebody totally overreact to something so small with you that you're like, honestly? Like, seriously? Yes, like if we don't start working on this skill with our children, that will be them in the future. And trust me, it won't affect the world before it affects us as parents. The tantrums, the banging doors, the insults, attempts at physical violence, throwing things are things that will happen to the parents first. And all behaviors start just like a tiny seed. And before you know it, it has roots so deep and so intertwined, it is practically impossible to properly uproot them. So prevention generally is better than cure. But that's why I'm here, to help us figure out how to work these things out, because this is a duty that must primarily be undertaken by the parent or the primary caregiver, not the teacher, not the school, not the house help. School is to teach academics and reinforce already well-taught behavior from home, not to start struggling to teach your child how to behave and relate with others from scratch. Parents, we honestly need to take back the mantle. We're honestly overwhelming schools and teachers. And the teachers shouted,
amen!
Yes, let's give our teachers a break. Let them do what their job is supposed to do. Let them reinforce good behavior, not try to start teaching behavior when they're supposed to be also focusing on other things. So, well, I hope I've emphasized enough. So back to how we teach it at home. So if you listen to one of my first ever podcasts, I think the first three actually, you remember how I talked about the importance of the why behind everything? These things of it's no because I have said no needs to end. Well, at least most of them, because all that does is breed curiosity into why am I being told no? And that is why they still do what you prohibited. And you get mad, and then consequences follow, and then an angry child and an angry parent, and it's a cycle. But the moment you explain the why they should not do XYZ, they are able to understand and cooperate to avoid consequences or getting hurt. Though in all honesty, no is a full statement, but let's not overuse it. So I emphasize a lot, explain to them why they have to wait for something, or why they have to take turns, or why they cannot hurt their sibling, or why they cannot use their phone, or why you've said no to something certain, yeah? And most importantly, they say, monkey see, monkey do. So you need to be a role model of self-regulation and minding how you respond to stress. If they see you scream and shout and hit, they will learn that that's how they should respond under stress or anger. So severally, we've heard that when our child is overly upset or has pissed the sanity out of you, you're to leave them alone or to beat them. But the problem with that is that children still have an immature sense of self-regulation. So you walking away causes feelings of neglect and unwantedness, and like they begin to feel like they're really bad people when in fact you ought to stay close to them and reassure them. I mean, you don't have to hold them at that point if they don't want it, because that's just how some kids are, but let them know that you're there for them if they need you. And if you need to cool off, just let them know, baby, daddy or mommy is really upset right now and I need to go to cool off, so I'm going to take a walk or going out to take some deep breaths. Now, this will teach your children how to regulate their anger or frustrations. There's also this myth that really needs to be debunked, which is carrying a crying infant spoils them. So we let them cry and calm down on their own, even if it's for an hour. But that is very disruptive behavior to their emotional well-being, because infants do not yet have the ability to regulate their emotions. For crying out loud, hold a baby close to your heart and rock them, speak to them, or sing to them. Let them feel your soothing presence, as this will help them learn to cope with fear, anxiety, frustration, and anger. Trust me, there's a lot of research going behind this. They calm down, and then when they experience the soothing voice and the warmth of the physical contact, it will help them learn to regulate the emotions as they grow older. Look at it this way. How would you, I like us relating to ourselves, as an adult feel like when you're in pain or loss or feeling lonely and everyone around you alienated themselves, decided, they're going through their own things, let's leave them alone, let them deal with it. I'm pretty sure we've all had that experience at some point in life. It feels horrible when you're left alone, and we all need the warmth and love of human companionship or assurance and got none. Can you imagine how devastating it is? Yet we are adults. Now imagine how much worse it is for a child, much more an infant. So please, calm a crying child and you'll have a calm teenager and adult. So Besek van der Kolk, a researcher on developmental trauma, maintains that the primary focus of parents is to help children learn to manage their own emotions. So being there for your child helps them develop a sense of trust and safety in you, because they learn how to regulate their emotions over time. Because as you are soothing them, this is like with toddlers upwards, you're also verbally telling them how to react to different situations so that you are not always jumping in to save them, because they also need to learn to do it on their own. Like what will happen when you take them to a daycare or school and you're not there. So also teaching them, you don't have to jump into everything, but you're there for them. So it's not a one-time trade-off. It's a trait that is learned and perfected throughout our entire lifestyles. We don't just teach self-regulation at some point, we are perfect adults. No, it's through lifetime. So, and none of us wants to be the parent called to school because our child pushed another over the slide and now they have a broken limb. You know, by this, someone did this to my small brother when he was at about 6. His knees were scraped almost to the bones. So you don't want your kid to be the one who's done that to somebody's child. Or you don't want to be the one who your child has insulted a teacher or are being suspended. None of this is easy, but it's not impossible. Take each day at a time and look for teachable moments through the day. Remember to model positive emotional regulation as a parent or caregiver by mindfully responding to stressors in your life. And it won't be perfect, but constant improvement is what matters. Teach your child to be aware of what consistently stresses them and how to regulate and avoid them. So discuss the emotions they are feeling and help them familiarize themselves with signs of when they're getting angry. For example, their head or ears start to feel hot, their palms sweat, their hearts beat too fast, and so on. Help them recognize these stressors, how they get triggered. Identifying these physiological signs of how the body reacts, it works towards promoting concrete internal signals that promote self-awareness and help them to handle it in time. Why I also insist on naming emotions with your child is because there's no inbuilt system in humans that comes with a manual of understanding how we feel. They do not know what anger or frustration is until we show them. For example, in bouts of anger, when your child is really angry and throwing tantrums, you can say, "Jaja, I saw your sister grab your toy. That must have made you really angry. How can we deal with it?" So there you've named the emotion. It's anger. So they'll get to realize, okay, this is called angry, you know, and how am I going to deal with it? So helping them identify the emotions is the first step. As you build their vocabulary of emotions, then they're also able to express themselves. And lastly, help them explore coping strategies. What should they do when they feel a certain kind of way? Help them explore what's best for them, how they want to deal with it to avoid negative outcomes, right? One thing I need to reassure you is that this is going to be a trial and error kind of thing. Nothing is a one size fits all. Our kids are different. We are different. Let's help them work with who they really are. And lastly, the coping strategies, why they feel a kind of way. When they feel like this, how should they behave? Help them explore those ways and discuss it with them. Take deep breaths, because this always helps them calm the nervous system and lower the child's emotional arousal. So maybe there's a place they like to run when upset. Some like physical touch, others don't. Some prefer to experience it in solitude, while others prefer to be around people. Find out what works for your child. The best line is, find the things that work with your child. And trust me, over time, there will be a radical change in how both of you perceive things. Even you will learn how to self-regulate. And soon there'll be peace for you. All those tantrumy family gatherings, the church services, supermarket visits will end. And everyone will want to know what magic wand you used. And you can tell them the magic is that you put your child first. It's that simple. For children, nothing is beyond redemption. And as research professor of philosophy and psychology, Dr. Stuart Shankar once said, there isn't a single child who, with understanding and patience, can't be guided along a trajectory that leads to a rich and meaningful life. That's it for me. So remember,
'cause the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Bye.